Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Good morning. It really is a joy to be back with you today because this church really does hold a special place in my heart. It's been an important part of our story here in Charlotte. And I'm sure not everybody in this room knows this. I'm going to recount some of these connections we have, which is when we moved here in the fall of 2022 with a call to plant an Anglican church somewhere in the city of Charlotte. Before we began our own gatherings, I ended up many Sundays on the back row here because I happen to live right across the street. And so this is the place that nourished my soul in the days of fear and uncertainty and asking myself, what did I just get myself into with this church plant? And soon after, as I started attending, I got to know Matt Hamm, and he has become one of my dearest friends in this city. And no one, absolutely no one, has encouraged me and my family more than this brother. And I think you know this. I hope you know this. And he certainly didn't ask me to say this, but you have a treasure with Matt Hamm as your pastor, and I'm privileged to call him my friend. In the spring of 2023, as we were starting to get things going, we had our first Maundy Thursday service right here in this room. It was a joint service with our little core team of about 30 people and some of your people. And then we actually did this service together for 3 years in a row until we both got too big to be in the same room. In the fall of 2024, we had our first funeral service for our church here in this room, as we remembered the life and witness of Amy Wolf, commended her into the hands of her merciful Savior. Even just a couple of weeks ago, my assistant pastor met with Sid Druin to pick his brain about how y'all do community groups. All this to say, every step of the way, this church, Hope Community Church, has been a tremendous blessing to Apostles Anglican Church, and honestly an incredible witness of camaraderie across denominational lines. I just want to say publicly, I am so grateful for y'all. And I'm happy to report that this September, in a couple of months, we're going to celebrate our third birthday as a public church. And I will be installed as the rector of the church. That's our fancy word for senior pastor. But that's happening because we have met all the requirements to no longer be considered a church plant, but a viable, self-supported congregation for the sake of the city of Charlotte. God has been so kind to us. As Matt said, we meet at 4 p.m. at the Moravian Church in Midtown. You're welcome to pop over anytime and worship with us. We'd love to have you. All right, but my main purpose here, it's an honor also for me to preach the word to you today. And I understand that you've been spending your summer in the book of Proverbs in a series entitled Life Under God, Daily Wisdom in the Proverbs. You're studying the wisdom of God as revealed in the book of Proverbs because wisdom is the art of living well. And in this sense, we all want to be wise. We all want to be skillful at the art of living. And we believe as Christians that this wisdom only comes from the all-wise Creator, the God who designed and made and sustains everything, the God who knows how life works best. I like how Ray Ortland put it in his book on Proverbs. He says, "Why are we studying the book of Proverbs? Because we need more than ethical principles. We need new hearts. We need wisdom deep within at an intuitive level as we hurry from one complex decision to the next, moment by moment, in the concrete realities of our daily lives. Without God's wisdom, many difficulties in life will remain confusing and threatening. With God's wisdom entering our hearts, we get the hang of how life really works. We become alive more and more. Irenaeus, the early Christian theologian, famously said, the glory of God is man fully alive. Friends, we become fully alive when we live under the wisdom of God, become more fully human, more fully what we were created to be. And so today we want to talk about wisdom with decisions, wisdom with choices. Because as I just read from Ortland, we need wisdom deep within at an intuitive level. Why? As we hurry from one complex decision to the next. Life is full of complex decisions, isn't it? And if there's any place we need the wisdom of God, it's in our decision making. This is truly integral to the art of living well. And let me ask you, what's the last complex decision you had to make? Maybe where to go to school, or where to send your kids to school. Maybe whether to date or to marry this person or not. Whether to take this job or that job. Whether to move to this city or that city. What neighborhood to live in. Which church to join. If or when to give your kids a smartphone or access to social media. Whether to overturn Flo Balligan's red card suspension. That wasn't your decision, but you get the point. Life is full of complex decisions. Now let me ask you, what do you feel when you're facing such decisions? As if you're like me, most of us feel a deep and a paralyzing sense of anxiety and fear. Why? Because we know how important these decisions are, how they will affect the trajectory of our lives. It seems like these decisions can make or break our lives. The French philosopher Albert Camus said, "Life is a sum of all your choices." Friends, we know this to be true. Life is made up of all these choices, both great and small, and so naturally we have all this anxiety and fear. Fear of making a mistake. Fear of getting it wrong. Fear of missing out. I learned a new phrase this week from Mac Harris when I went to Hope's staff meeting this week. FOBO. You guys know this? Fear of better options. What if we choose something now and a better option comes along later? That terrifies us. That's why some of us can't commit to Friday night plans, much less to a lifelong marriage. But even more deeply, friends, it brings up a lot of fear related to God, doesn't it? The fear of missing God's will. That's even possible. The fear of getting something other than God's best. The fear of whether God even wants to give us his best, whether he's good, whether he's for us and not against us. When we face complex decisions, we usually want to talk to the wisest people that we know. Maybe to our mom or our dad, to a wise and a trusted friend, or to a counselor or a pastor. In the face of complex decisions, we want to talk to wise people, and I have great news for you today. We get to talk to the wisest person that ever lived. Not me, just to be clear. All of the Proverbs we read today were written by King Solomon, the man who, when he could have asked God for anything, asked only for wisdom, and God gave it to him. God gave him wisdom and understanding beyond measure. So we get the wisdom of God through the wisdom of Solomon. And that is the absolute gift and treasure that is the book of Proverbs. I feel lucky to be here. We get to learn about wisdom with decisions from the wisest of the wise. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I think it's tempting to read Proverbs like little Christian fortune cookies, like isolated nuggets of wisdom that are unrelated to each other. But actually, I think the meaning is found when we consider the collective wisdom of the Proverbs on any subject matter. And so as I read and meditated this week on this collection of Proverbs regarding wisdom with decisions, I think the key to it all is humility. The key to becoming a wise decision maker is humility. First of all, the humility to distrust yourself. I know how that sounds. This is a countercultural idea that flies in the face of so much of our modern wisdom. The world tells you to trust yourself. Trust your instincts. All you need to do is follow your heart. And on the one hand, the Bible affirms our ability to make good plans. The Proverbs affirm this. Look at Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. The context of this verse is a military situation of preparing for an enemy attack. And the proverb says if there's no guidance, if there's no planning, the city's going to fall. The safety of the city depends upon our ability to make good decisions, to have a good plan. Or Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. There's nothing wrong with diligent planning. Often our success is because of our skill in planning. And this makes sense in the story of the Bible because human beings are made in the image of God. Think about this. If we are made in the image of the God who designed everything and planned out the entire brilliant story of salvation, then of course we're going to be pretty good at planning things. We are imaging our Creator. And that's partly why the world says, trust in yourself. Follow your heart. You've got this. But the Bible also says that we are fallen image bearers, which means that every aspect of our existence is corrupted by sin, including our decision making. The Bible says that our fallen hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately sick. And therefore, sometimes the worst thing we can do is follow our hearts. Friends, that is the complexity of being a human being, isn't it? Right? On the one hand, made in the image of God, and therefore we have a high capacity to make good decisions. On the other hand, fallen into sin, and therefore we have a high capacity for self-deception. And this is why the Proverbs tell you that wisdom is to have a healthy skepticism about yourself. To have the humility to distrust even your own heart. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. There's often a difference between our perception of reality and God's. And it can seem like the way of life to us, but in the end, it's the way to death. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his spirit. Only God truly knows the condition of our hearts. We often don't even know what the motives of our own hearts are, why we're doing the things we're doing. Friends, without the wisdom of God, we will simply default to whatever is right in our own eyes. We will default to our self-centeredness, to what we really want, whatever is most comfortable. And so sometimes when choosing between two different jobs, we will just go where the money is, because that must be the right decision. And friends, sometimes it is, but how can we know that we're not just doing what we want to do? Our capacity for self-deception is so high that we will even use religion. We will use God to baptize whatever it is that we just really want to do. We rely on signs or circumstances as confirmation. We pluck Bible verses out of context as support. We rely on subjective feelings as proof, right? I just don't have a peace in my heart. We say things like, God told me to do this or to do that. Now hear me, friends. I am not saying that God never speaks through signs or feelings or directly through the Holy Spirit. I am saying that you have a deceitful heart beating in your chest. And Proverbs says that wisdom is to have a healthy distrust of it. To admit that we sometimes have a hard time distinguishing between what God wants and what our selfish heart wants. Sometimes the right decision comes without signs, without coincidences, and we don't have a peace about it. The Garden of Gethsemane would suggest that Jesus did not have a peace about going to the cross. As he sweated drops of blood and cried out to God, Lord, please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, he resolved, not my will, but yours be done. So friends, wisdom with decisions begins with the humility to distrust yourself. Secondly, it's the humility to listen to others. I know this is yet another countercultural idea where self-reliance and self-guidance are the spirit of our times. This idea is everywhere. It's in the air that we breathe. It's in our art and our media. I could have chosen any number of illustrations, but one of the clearest comes from High School Musical 2 in the song Bet on It, where Zac Efron's character sings, everybody's always talking at me. Everybody's trying to get in my head. I want to listen to my own heart talking. I need to count on myself instead. The answers are all inside of me. All I got to do is believe. Friends, that is the message of our world. The answers are all inside of me. All I got to do is believe. Believe in myself. Listen to myself. The key to making good decisions in the world is to listen to the voice inside, because you are your own authority. Proverbs says the exact opposite. Proverbs says the key to making a good decisions is to listen to the voices of authority outside of you. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. That word guidance comes from the Hebrew word that refers to the tackle of a ship. That is the ship's furniture and gear, the mechanisms that control the ship's handling and steering. Solomon says that the mechanisms that will steer your life in the right direction are the abundance of good counselors. Lots and lots of wise counselors and good advice. Not just the voice inside, but the voices outside of you. These sayings were not printed in your bulletin, but listen to them. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. When I was in seminary, one of our professors told a story about a time when he was faced with a major life decision. He'd been teaching at the seminary for years, but he always had a heart for overseas missions. And these stirrings in his heart became so strong that he went to his authority figures, to the board of the seminary, and he said, "I think I'm called to go to the mission field." And after much conversation and prayer all together, the board came back to him and said, "We think you're called to stay. This is the most strategic place for you to serve the kingdom." And you know what? He stayed. And my Western individualistic mind was blown. I thought just me and Jesus made those types of decisions. But he made the decision in the context of community. He had the humility to listen to the authority of others. And friends, this also makes sense biblically, because we are made in the image of a triune God, which means we are hardwired for community. Therefore, we are most fully human, not as self-fulfilled individuals, but as dependent members of a community. We're actually designed to make decisions in community. So are you willing to listen to the voice of others? Not just to the voices that agree with you, but to the voices that disagree with you, that challenge you. Are you willing to believe that one of the primary ways God guides you is through the abundance of counselors? Thirdly and lastly, it's the humility to trust the sovereign plan of God. This is perhaps the greatest theme of this group of Proverbs. This difference between there's our work and then there's God's work. There's our plans, and then there's God's plans. Our plans are our responsibility, and by all means, the Proverbs tell you, make good plans, be bold, be creative. But just know that your plans are always subject to a much deeper plan. The sovereign, perfect, eternal plan of God. And his plans will never fail. Listen to all these. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:3, commit your way to the Lord and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Becoming wise with decisions requires the humility to trust in the sovereign plan of God. As Proverbs 16:20 ends, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this will only be good news to you today if you know what God's ultimate plan is for you. And thanks be to God, we don't have to guess. He has revealed it to us. His sovereign plan will be for his glory and for your good. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Friends, that is not just a Christian platitude. That is an enormous comfort in the midst of complex decisions. That no matter what, there is a deeper plan at work that cannot end anywhere else but your highest good. And therefore, you can trust him. If you belong to Jesus, he will conform you into the image of his Son. He has called you. He's justified you. He will glorify you. You will share in the incomparable glory of Jesus. Because the gospel tells you that God is unequivocally for you, not against you. Because if he gave his own precious Son for you, how will he not also graciously give you all things? Friends, there is absolutely nothing, no decision, no failure, nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, amidst all that fear and anxiety, you can breathe a sigh of relief. You can relax and let your shoulders down. When those fears and anxiety arise about your decisions, you can trust that nothing can thwart the plan of God for your life. Listen, friends, even if bad things happen that are outside of your control, because of who God is, you will one day say with Joseph, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. Even if you make a bad decision, even if you suffer the consequences of a bad decision, you can still know, because of who God is, God will weave even your failures into his plan of redemption. Friends, even if your plans don't turn out like you hoped, you can trust that the deeper plan of God is still right on track. Because in an ultimate sense, you cannot mess up your life. Maybe temporarily, but not ultimately. God's purpose for you will stand. Trust the sovereign plan of God. It is for your good. And that means when it comes to approaching decisions, we can approach them with a greater freedom, can't we? We can focus not on controlling the future because we can't, but on what we can control, which is the process of becoming wise people. In fact, you notice these proverbs talk less about how God guides and more about whom God guides. Look at Proverbs 11:3, the verse 1. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Notice that, friends. It is their integrity that guides them. Or God guides them through their integrity. When you become a person of character, then you become the kind of person who makes wise decisions at an intuitive level. The pastor Tim Keller once said that he had read so much C.S. Lewis that he could basically anticipate what Lewis would say or do in any given situation. That is the goal for us, brothers and sisters. To so immerse ourselves so deeply in the wisdom of God, through all the ordinary means, through word and prayer and sacrament and community, that we could almost anticipate how God would respond to any given situation. That's what the Proverbs is encouraging us with. I think that's the heart behind the quote attributed to St. Augustine that's in your bulletin. Love God and do whatever you please. Love God and do whatever you please, for the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who is beloved. Isn't that great? So, friends, when you're facing complex decisions, I would encourage you to ask three simple questions. Number one, what do the scriptures say? Because that is our ultimate authority. Have the humility to lean not on your own understanding. Number two, what does my community say? This is the primary way that God guides us. Have the humility to listen, to ask, and then to listen to others. And number three, what does my heart say? How has God formed the desires of your heart? And somewhere within that matrix, you will figure out the best path. And then you are free to simply just make the best decision possible with freedom, but with trust in the sovereign plan of God. Love God and do whatever you please. For the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who is beloved. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your invitation to come to you, all of us who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. Lord, we admit we are weary and heavy laden when it comes to making weighty decisions. And so thank you for your rest. Thank you for your invitation to distrust ourselves, to trust the advice and the wisdom of those around us, but most of all, to trust your sovereign plan for us. Thank you, Lord, that this is such the freedom and the joy of being a Christian, of living under your wisdom, to know that all things are in your hands, and therefore truly we are free. Nothing can thwart your plan for our life. It will end for our good. Thank you for this precious promise and comfort to us today. I pray we would leave here more relaxed, more free, and more trusting in your good plan for us. Lord, make us wise just like you are. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.